Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield of the Pardes Institute, recording for you from my home in Gush Etzion. And we are now at the very top of the page of 31a, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, of the fourth chapter of Rosh Hashanah. It begins with a Braita that's going to talk about the reason that different psalms were selected as the psalm of the day, the Shir Shel Yom that was recited in the Mikdash alongside the wine libation offerings that accompanied the korbanot, the sacrifices, both in the morning and in the afternoon. Here we go. Tanya, we learn in a Braita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rabbi Akiva. Barishon Mahayu Omrim, Lashem Aretz Lo'ah. On Sunday, what did they say? They said the psalm that speaks of Psalms 24, Lashem Aretz Umlo'ah, the world, the earth, and all that is in it is to God. And again, in reference to the days of creation, Al Shem Shekanavi Hiknavi Shalit Olamo, that God acquired and established himself as ruler of the universe. Vasheni on Monday, Mayomrim, Gadol Hashem Umulam Od. God is great and worthy and incredibly praised. Al Shem Shechilek Masav Umalach Alehen, because he divided up his creation and ruled over them. Some say this is a reference to the creation of angels on day two, and the chilek, the division, is the rakia, the division he made between heaven, between the waters. Bashlishia yomrim Elohim nitzav ba'adat el. On day three, when God brought dry land forward, it says we read that God is established in the edah, in the company of God, meaning that God, he goes on to say, Al Shem Shagila Eretz Bechokhmato, that God revealed his wisdom to the land, Vehechin Teva La'adato, and established the earth for his community. Some suggest that the reference here of Nitzav Ba'adat El means a community of justice, the idea that the earth stands, the firmament stands on justice, and that's an essential element to sort of the physical standing of the earth. Baravi Hayuomrim El Nekamot Hashem, Al Shem Shebarach Ha'ma'ulvana. On Wednesday, we say that God of vengeance, because that's the day that God made the sun and the moon, va'atili parame ovdehen, and therefore God is going to punish those who worship the sun and the moon instead of worshiping God. B'chamishia yomrim harninu le'elohim uzenu. We're familiar with this one from the last sugya. On Thursdays, they say, you know, let us call out and praise to God who is our strength. Al shem shebara ofot v'dagim l'shabeach shemo, that on Thursday, on the fifth day of creation, God made birds and fish, which cause us to praise God for all the diversity of his creation. V'shishia yomrim Hashem malach geyut lavesh, al shem shegamar malachto, that on Friday, where we talk about God being a king, adorned in power and in greatness, and pride, because he completed his work, umalachale, and now God was truly a king, because human beings were also created, and God ruled over them. Bashviya yomri mizmor shel yom ha-shabbat, l'yom shekulo shabbat. On day seven, on Shabbat, we actually recite the psalm that says, a psalm for the Sabbath day, in honor of the day that is all Shabbat. The interesting thing about this psalm is it doesn't seem to have anything to do with a Shabbat. It seems to me more about God rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked, which is why presumably Rabbi Akiva connected it to the Messianic age, that at the culmination of 6,000 years, which is a known Midrasha concept in Masechet Sanhedrin, that then the Messianic age is going to enter in. It's going to be a time where everything is all of Shabbat. Am Rabbi Nechemia, ma ruach chachamim lechalek bin haprakim halalu. Rabbi Nechemia asked Rabbi Akiva, why would he make a distinction in these chapters? Meaning, why would he suggest that the first six are all about creation and seven is about the Messianic age? They should be consistent. And then he goes through his list. Barishon shekanav v'hiknav v'shlit b'olamo, right? Day one, God acquired and established his rule over the universe. V'sheni shekhlek masav malach aleihem. And the second day, again, when he built the rakia, he divided his creation and ruled over it. It's all the same as Rabbi Akiva's list, as you're noticing. V'shlishi shegilah eretz b'chokhmato v'chin tavolatato, right? Day three, it's because he revealed his wisdom and established The earth for his community, for humanity, some say based on justice. And right again on Wednesday, we mention the sun and the moon because he created the sun and the moon on day four, and he will punish those in the future for worshiping them. Again, the same thing. Thursday, because of the birds and the fish that cause us to praise him. That's what we mention a song that talks about praising and calling out in praise to God. Again, on Friday, he completed his work. And now comes the difference with Rabbi Kiva. Right? Day seven is about God resting. We talk about sort of the earth being somehow completed on that day. And therefore, according to Rabbi Nehemiah, the psalm in some way connects to Shabbat, even though the connection to Shabbat is a little bit hard to spot. There's a Radak commentary that tries to suggest how it connects to Shabbat, but I will grant you, it's not a simple read. But in any event, he wants to be consistent. If the first six psalms are connected to the 6 days of creation, then day seven should also be connected to the Shabbat of creation. So he read the psalm as somehow referring to God sort of completing his work and taking a pause. And now the Gemara goes on to suggest what is at the core of their argument. They're actually arguing about a statement of Rav Katina. Rav Katina said over in Tractate Sanhedrin, he mentioned how the 6,000 years the world will exist, and this, and then there'll be 1,000 years of destruction. To Amar Rav Katina, Shita Alfei Shnei Havei Alma V'Chad Charuf, the world will exist for 6,000 years and be destroyed for 1,000. Shneamar V'Niskav Hashem Levado B'Yom Hahu, and God will be great on alone on that day. And the idea that Yom here, a day, since each day of creation is sort of symbolic for 1,000 years of time, so then too, the seventh day is also 1,000 years, and it's 1,000 years where God will be alone because everything else will be destroyed. There's a great debate between Ramban, Maharal, Abarbanel, exactly what this 1,000 years is and what that looks like, and is everything wiped out? Are the Jewish people still around? But in any event, that is one of the apocalyptic visions that appears in the Talmud. So Rabbi Akiva went with the view that, so Rav Katina said it's 1,000 years. Amar Abaye, Trei Charuv. Abaye said, no, it's actually 2,000 years. Shenemar Yechayenu Miyomayim. He quotes the verse that talks about God sustaining us for 2 days, which would be 2,000 years. So since Rabbi Akiva believed it was 2,000 years, not 1,000 years, he could not read the psalm for day seven as referring to this time of destruction. And so therefore he read it, Rabbi Akiva viewed the seventh day, since it's 1,000 years, viewing it as a messianic time. But since Rabbi Nehemiah believed that the period will be 2,000 years, not 1,000 years, he read day seven, the Psalm of day seven, is referring to the Shabbat of creation and not this metaphor Shabbat for the 1,000 years of destruction, because he thought it was 2,000 years. Now the Gemara turns to another question, back to our original discussion of which psalms were recited when in the temple. The Musafei de Shabbat Amai Yomrim. What did they recite for Musaf? They did Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbat for Shacharit. What did they do for Musaf? Amrav Anam Barava Amarav Haziv Lach. If you look in your Gemara, you'll see there's an acronym there, and the acronym represents the six different paragraphs of the Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu, of course, is a long poem at the end of Dvarim, Vrim Lamed Bet, and it's divided up into these sort of six stanzas, and each this acronym stands for each of those stanzas. Haziv lach. The Amar Rav Chanan Barava Amarav Kederech Shechalukin Kan Kach Chalukin Veit HaKnesset. Just like they're divided here in the Torah, they're actually written out that way. That's also how we read them in Shul. That in general there was not there were certain rules, but there wasn't strict rules about how to divide up the parsha into different aliyot. But Hazinu, the six readers had to be divided along those six stanzas. But Minchat de Shabbat Amayu Omrim. What did they say for the Mincha of Shabbat, the Bein Arba'im of Shabbat? What was the offering? What was the song for the offering then? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Az Yashir, Umi Kamocha the Az Yashir. So Rabbi Yochanan says there were three different passages. There was the Az Yashir, that Shirat Hayam, the song by the sea. up until Michamocha, and then Michamocha up until the Az Yashir of Alei Be'er and Bamidbar Chaf Aleph. So therefore, there were three. Shirat Hayam was divided into two, and then there was the Alei Be'er in Bamidbar 21, Bamidbar Chaf Aleph. Ibai Lahu, Hani Kulu B'chad Shabta Amri Lo, or Dilma Kol Shabta Shabta Amrei Chad. The Gemara wants to know, right, Hazinu is divided up into six, and the Az Yashir and the two Az Yashirs and the Alei Be'er is three. So the question is, did they read all six stanzas in the morning and all three stanzas for Mincha in the afternoon, or were they divided up? Each week, you did one stanza of each. Tashma, come in here. We're going to prove it from a Braita, Detanya. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ad Rishona Omeret Achat, Shnia Chozeret Shtayim. Rabbi Yossi said when Ha'azinu was finished one time, the second one you finished twice, meaning when, by the time it took 6 weeks to finish all the stanzas of Ha'azinu, therefore in that time, since the other one for Mincha was three stanzas, three sections, you would go through them twice. Shema Mina, Kol Shabbat V'Shabbat Amrei Chad Shema Mina. This teaches us that each Shabbat you read one piece, you know, it's one sixth of Hazinu and one of the three of the Az Yashirs mentioned at Mincha time. Now we move on to another piece. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Idi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yehuda, son of Idi, said the name of Rav Yochanan. Eser Masot Nasa Shechina. The Shechina traveled, had 10 stops. As it left the temple, before the temple was destroyed, but as the Shechina left the temple and no longer resided among the Jewish people before it was destroyed the first time, it had sort of 10 stations on its way out. Ukenegdan galta Sanhedrin. And comparable to that, the Sanhedrin in the second temple period also went through 10 stations as it went off into Galut. And the first one was learned from Mikrai, from the Psukim. The second one, Migmara, from tradition. Eser Masaot Nasa Shechina Mikrai, right? The 10 stopping points of the journey of the Shechina, leaving the Jewish people and going back up to Shemayim, back up to restore it to heaven, so to speak, comes from the Psukim, and this is what they are. Mikaporet Lekruv, from the Kaporet, from the cover of the Ark in the Holy of Holies, it jumped to one of the Kruvim, to one of the cherubs that was sitting on the part of the Ark cover. Umikruv Lekruv, Umikruv Lemiftan. It went from one Kruv to the other, and then it went to the Miftan, to the sort of entranceway to the Heichal, to the building inside the Mikdash, where the Kodesh HaKodeshim was. Umimiptan l'chatzer, went from there, from the miftan, the entrance to the Heichal, to the chatzer, to the space in between the Mizbeach and the Heichal, the altar and the Heichal. Umichatzer l'mizbeach, it then went from the chatzer to the Mizbeach, to the altar. Umizbeach l'gag, went from the altar to the roof. Umigag l'choma, from the roof to the wall. Umichoma l'ir, from the wall to the city of Jerusalem. Umeir l'har, it went from the city of Jerusalem to one of the mountains next to Jerusalem. I believe it's Har HaZeitim, according to Rashi, the Mount of Olives. Umehar leMidbar, it went from the Mount of Olives out into the desert, into Midbar Yehuda. Umidbar alta v'yashabim koma, and from the desert it rose up and sat in its place in Shemayim, in the heaven, Shenemar, Elech Ashuva el Mekomi. As the prophet taught, God was saying, I will go back to my place, meaning I will return back to Shemayim, I no longer will dwell among the Jewish people, based on the verse in Hosea. And now we're going to give the different psukim that sort of tell us how we know this is the process of the Shechina leaving. Mikapor l'kruv, mikruv l'kruv, u'mikruv l'miftan dichtiv, v'noati l'chasham, v'dibartchem ala kaporet, right? Because God says, when we're building the Mishkan, I will speak to you there from above the ark cover. Uktiv v'yirkav al kruv v'yaof, and God said, I will ride on the kruv and fly. That's actually a reference, again, to God sort of leaving. God being on the cherubim because of their wings is sort of a mention that the kvod Shechina can kind of rest on one of the cherubs and then fly and then move. Uchtiv uchvod Elohei Yisrael na'ala me'al akruv asher yalav al miftan habayit. And then this is from the vision of Yechezkel, because Yechezkel actually had a prophecy of the Shechina leaving the Mikdash, and so he described that the divine presence left the Mikdash by going from the Kruv to the entranceway to the Heichal. Miftan lachatzer dichtiv v'malei abayta anan v'chatzer mala noga kvod Hashem. Once again, we are back into Yechezkel describing God's presence leaving the Mikdash, and here it talks about how God went out into the Chatzer, Mechatzer lemizbeach, Dichtiv ro'itid Hashem mitzav lemizbeach, as the prophet wrote, I saw God standing, Amos says, I saw God standing on the Mizbeach, and this is midrashically linked to this process of the divine leaving. U'mizbeach lagag, and from the altar to the roof, Dichtiv tov l'shevet al pinat gag, a nice drash from Mishle. It's actually the verse talks about a husband, better to sit on the roof than to sit with a wife who is cantankerous and quarrelsome, not very kind towards women, but that's the verse. Migag v'choma, from the roof to the city wall, or the wall of the temple, excuse me. Dichtiv yinei Hashem mitzav al chomat anach, that right, that God was actually there on the wall. That's what it says in Amos. And now michoma le'ir, dichtiv kol Hashem le'ir yikra, the voice of Hashem called out in the city. That's from Micha, telling that God sort of is the divine presence in the city. Umeir lahar, dichtiv ayal for Hashem me'al tocha ir, v'yamod alahar asher mikedem la'ir, because the pasuk says that God's presence rose up from within the city and stood on the mountain east of the city. It's again part of Yechezkel's vision of God leaving the city. This is very much driven by Yechezkel's whole vision of the divine presence leaving the temple. This is his prophecy towards what's going to happen when the temple is going to be destroyed. Umehar lemidbar, dichtiv tov shevet be'eretz midbar, it is good to dwell in the midbar. That's Mishle. Again, this idea, better to be to sit in the desert than to be in a terrible family situation, a quarrelsome family. And then we have a very interesting statement. And then it says, "Midbar al tav yasham koma," from the desert it went up returned to its place. "Dichtiv elecha shuv al mikomi," as we said earlier, that God said, "I will return to my place," all as part of this process of God leaving the Jewish people, the divine presence leaving the temple, even before the physical temple was destroyed. This is sort of the image that we are being given here. Okay, and then we get another statement. Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Shisha chodeshim nitakva shchina l'Yisrael b'midbar." For 6 months, the divine presence waited for the Jewish people in the desert. Shema yachzru b'tshuva. Maybe they'll return in tshuva. Perhaps it's a reward that we followed God into the desert, so God waited for us in the desert. The desert past being symbolically sort of being a place of reunion and reconnection to God, but we didn't take advantage of it. Kevan shlo chazru amar tipachatzman, right? Once we didn't return, God cursed us and said, let them fall apart, let them disappear. Shene amar veinei rishaim tichlena umanos avad minhem v'tikvatam mapach nafesh. With the verse meaning, and from Eov, right, that the eyes of the wicked will be longing, will look with longing. Haven or a resting place would be denied to them, and their hope would turn to despair. This idea that we missed our chance for tshuva, and therefore at that point, after God waited for us for 6 months, there was no returning. Next time, we will pick it up from the very bottom of the page and talk about the different stops that the Sanhedrin made in the parallel of the Sanhedrin leaving the Mikdash, paralleled God, the divine presence leaving the Mikdash, right? The divine presence leaving the Mikdash refers to the first temple period, and the Sanhedrin leaving the Mikdash references the destruction of the second temple. And we'll talk about that more next time. Thank you for joining.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.